This Dharma talk was given to the Clearway Zen Sangha by Lotus Vu. This talk is made available free of charge. More information about Clearway Zen can be found at www.clearwayzen.ca.
But the topic that a lot of us is always struggling with, I don't think until the point where we come very close to what the Buddha experienced, that we stop struggling. And that is change. Change is something that we have a lot of preference over. We have a preference to change things or enjoy or like change that we want. And to not accept the change that we don't want. The change is a fact of life. It happens all the time. It's like one of those universal laws that you can't really do anything about. And so when the change is good, when things are good for a while, we don't want change to happen the other way around. Of course, what always happens is what goes up must come down. And I was listening to a podcast about finance and a lot of economists and investors were talking about how in the Western world, investors are less embracing of change. So in Asia, if they see the stock market going up for a long time, they're almost expecting that it's going to go down. But in North America, it's almost the opposite. We're expecting it to last forever. And that's one thing about change is I think it's almost in the Asian experience and philosophy and culture to expect change to happen. To expect that life will be disrupted or there's a cycle of things that will happen and you don't always get it good. Matter of fact, 5,000 years ago in China, there's a very famous book that still is relevant today called the I Ching or the Book of Changes. We don't know who wrote it. But a lot of Chinese philosophy are based upon it. In that book, it talks about nothing else but changes. The philosophy is there's this one indivisible part of reality that divides into two. And from these two polarities, divides into four, and four divides into eight, and eight into 64 different ways that life changes. Sounds familiar? And so, the Chinese has been using this book for centuries to predict the change of season, the movement of stars. There's an ancient art in Chinese practices. A lot of Taoism uses this book. They use numerology to predict the future from this book because it looks based on all mathematical theories on how to predict change. And it's almost a given that things will change. And that life exists in a certain cosmic cycle sort of way. We can't do anything about it but embrace it. So this whole idea coming from the I Ching is, a lot of our fates are mostly determined because of changes that follows a particular pattern we don't really understand. The larger patterns we understand, which is the changes of the weather, the seasons, the things that people can observe. And so when we look at our particular patterns of human on an individual basis, it's harder to predict than the larger pattern. Somehow the Chinese have also made it into an art. So based on this book of changes, it comes up with this ancient art of plotting star charts, how it predicts a person's life based on their date of birth, hour of birth, month of birth, and year of birth, that this person has a very unique pattern based upon the stars that are aligned at that time. And based on those patterns, the person trained in this art can pretty much predict most of the trajectory of their life on a grand scale. And when I was younger, I was in my teenage years, I was curious about everything. So I studied this for a little bit with one of the monks that in Mississauga, that this temple I frequent. It was about 4 or 5 monks there. Each of them had a specialty, and one of them had a specialty in researching and looking at the I Ching. And so he taught me this. But part of me didn't really believe it, but I was curious enough to try it to see if it worked. Is it in the realm of superstition or the realm of actual prediction? And what I found is to actually accurately predict, not by the day, but on a grand scheme of things, most people's life trajectory. There was one time I had an older friend, and I'm not a psychic by any means of imagination. I was playing around with these star charts and trying to get experience. So I did a reading for one of my older friends. He was in his 40s. I looked at his chart and I said, "You have a child on wedlock?" He's never been married. And he looked at me very surprised and he said, "Oh my God, that was my kid." It turned out he had a girlfriend years ago and she had a child with him, and he didn't really believe it was his because she was like seeing other people at the same time. So she got mad and moved to the United States. Later, I heard that he had reconnected with her and accepted his child, that child in his life, I guess, in the DNA. So I did a lot of these, I call it testing reading for friends and people I come across at that time, because I was really curious if that was, in fact, accurate. Seems pretty accurate. Venerable Thich Phat Hoa in Edmonton at that time was 19 years old, a year older than me. I did his star charts and I looked at him. He would be world famous. Well, now he's got over 1 million followers on his YouTube channel. And he goes and lectures all over the world. In some ways, we're always trying to predict change. Human beings have always tried to predict change. Whether it's the weather forecast, whether it's the ancient art in the I Ching, whether it's astrology or numerology or all kinds of things, we're always trying to predict change. Because we don't like surprises. Is that true? Not really. We like the surprises. That's good for us. We don't like the surprises. That's not good for us. In some ways, trying to predict change is a way of controlling reality. But in Asia, people don't see it like that. They see predicting changes that is getting ready for the worst. Because they know it's going to happen anyway. What goes up must come down. There is the positive, the yin, and the, you know, the yang, and then there's the negative, the yin. Each have to exist on its own merits, you know. At a certain point. But there's an old story in Chinese philosophy called Gentleman Ties Lost His Horse. So there was a merchant, a farmer, who one day lost his prized horse. And the people in the village came and give condolences because the horse was so valuable to him. And they said, oh, we feel bad, sorry for your loss. That was such a precious horse. And he said to them, not sure that's a bad thing. Let's see. And then a couple of days ago, the horse came back. And he found the horse again. People came over and congratulate him. Oh, you found the horse. It's so nice to be able to find the precious horse that you lost, such a prized horse. And he said, I'm not sure that's a good thing. The next day, his son tried to ride the horse, so being so happy that it came back. The horse buckled and his son fell off the horse and broke his leg. And the neighbors came by and said, we're so sorry that happened to your son. It's awful. And he says, I'm not sure that's a bad thing. And the next thing happens was the country started going to war all of a sudden. So all the able men were conscripted and called to go to war. And because his son has a broken leg, not sure when he's going to be walking again, was not conscripted. So the neighbors came over and congratulated. So Mr. Tai says, with the things that changes, we see it as good or bad, but in each and every one of them, we don't know if it's a blessing or it's a curse, and it all depends on our perspective. Like the things that happened to him with the horse, each time, people interpret it as a bad thing, but it turned out to be a good thing. Each time, people interpret it on a general sense as a good thing, but it turned out to be a bad thing. So when we look at life and changes, it depends on our perception and how we see things. That it shapes reality. As good or bad. Changes in itself is neither. Sometimes we interpret certain things to be really bad. What if there's a lesson to be learned from that? That deepens your wisdom. your practice. That's an exceptionally good thing. So, as you see the symbol of Taozi, the yin-yang symbol, in the two big circle, in the circle, there's half of it that's white and half of it that's dark. And in each of those, there's a dot that is the opposite. That encompasses the philosophy that life cannot exist outside of these two polarities, but inside those two polarities themselves, they might not be what they appeared. Rather than change is a fact of life as well. People in India saw the same thing as the writer of the Book of Changes. It's something natural, it's something unavoidable. But we continue to suffer, the Buddha says, because we're unwilling to embrace change. We're unwilling to prepare for it. We're unwilling to be open for it, to it. But for a lot of us, when we see good things happen, we want it to last forever. I'm not sure it's a good thing. If you're sitting on the couch being really comfortable, most of us would consider that a good thing. Well, if you're doing that for me, see what happens. You're going to be depressed and all your muscles will atrophy. Not sure that's a good thing. And you're going through a tough time. You have to be really physical and you're cleaning up your yard or your house or whatever. And you're saying, oh my God, it's so terrible. I've got to do so much work in a short time. I'm not sure. It's a bad thing. Well, the last 4 months I've been fixing my house. I dropped a lot of weight. My sister said, it's good. You don't have to go on a weight loss program. I've been a bit of a night owl because of that. Yeah, in the last little while, I've been waking up at 6:30. So now I've turned out to be a morning person. So a lot of times when we go through tough and challenging times, we think it's a bad thing. But as we all know, discomfort, a little bit of discomfort is growth. So whenever we feel frustrated because things change and things don't go according to what we want, just remember, it's a lesson. It's a lesson for us to learn to embrace change. To flow with the ever-changing flow of life. To accept the universal law that's always present. When people say, I can't accept that. Well, you know what happens when you can't accept gravity? Uh-huh. You might step off something and fall and break your leg. Right? Somehow we don't have the same attitude with this universal law. And that leads us to suffering. I mean, it's easy enough to say, I accept gravity. But with this, what happens when we don't accept it? We cause ourselves an immense amount of suffering and frustration just because we cannot embrace change and reality that's in front of us. We prefer to want what we want instead of what we get. emotions. Practice being grateful. Why? Because being grateful is accepting what we have instead of wanting what we don't have. And the funny thing is, when we do accept what we have, things change. And they usually change for the better. Instead of trying to force it towards a certain idea we have in our own mind. Because when we accept what's in front of us, we see three ways that we can make the decision. We can accept it and keep it that way. We can effect change on it in a way that we know that can happen. Or we can just leave it. Avoid it altogether. It's not advisable. But in some situations, it's best to leave it. I often tell people in my therapy practice, why are you walking into a closed door and banging your head against it? Right? Why a door that's open? That door is closed. Stop banging your head against it. So in the book of changes, it tells you, these are the things that are changing. This is happening. Embrace it and go with it. So the farmers rely on this system in China for a long time to predict the weather, to predict what happens in the season, so they can plant, so they can determine when the river is gonna flow higher or lower, so they can irrigate. Or when to stay home and do nothing. When we're forcing our ideas and what we have in our head upon reality, usually we're creating immense challenges for ourselves. Stress, frustration, all kinds of different things. And so, when we accept reality in the present moment, we can see very clearly what our options are. Yeah. And we go on. We're not trying to force things in one way. When we accept reality, we make things a lot easier for ourselves. In embracing change, in embracing different, not our preference, what we think has to be. But of course, if change is incremental, we prefer that better than something abrupt. We don't always get to choose. But people ask me, Saskatchewan has a lot of tornadoes, right? I said, yeah. Aren't you worried living here? I said, well, I don't know. That's just part of being here. And hail. And sometimes flood. But that's just a part of being here. You wonder, you know, people who live right by the volcano sometimes, or people living in Florida, they're always having hurricanes. Somehow they have embraced the changes that happen there. They're willing to pay for that, with the inconvenience of boarding up your house once in a while. with the great weather most of the year. So for a lot of us, we're kind of perfectionistic. We want everything the way we want. I find that being able to tolerate change builds characters and resilience. That's the mark of resiliency. That you can bend this way or that way and adapt to things without breaking. And that, in scientific terms, is evolutionary breath. Any species that are able to adapt more quickly survive and thrive. The funny thing is, human being has always been able to adapt. We've pretty much come and talked to the top of the food chain, and suddenly, we don't want to chat adapt anymore. We like our creature comfort. But I enjoy going to Air River sometimes to have no electricity, no running water. We'll carry water, you know, pump water from the well. Learning to live as if you have nothing in the 20th century, in the 21st century. Why? Because after you come from back from that, you really appreciate a hot shower. And you really learn to adapt to the environment. And you really appreciate and not take regrets at what you have. And in some ways, just that very act makes your life so much more fulfilling. So when we have all these ideas, I could have been over there. I could have been this. Just know that you're creating your own suffering when you're doing that. So, how to embrace change. Be present. Take a deep breath. Accept what is happening is happening. That's the only way you can embrace it. It seems really simple, but hard to do. I always tell people, Zen is an art of rinse and repeat. It's super easy, super simple. Just come back to the basic. And throughout the entirety of my Zen practice, I always come back to the very basic. Accept reality, take a deep breath, relax. There's nothing else you can do. And the faster you accept that, the faster you're able to see your choices and flow with change. And as me learning those star charts, the whole point of me learning it, because I was stubborn. I do not believe in destiny. So I've learned those star charts to see, to understand if I can affect change into it. What my teacher taught me at that time, he said 70% of your life, according to those star charts, are predictable. 30% is not. I asked him where. Is that 30%? He said, whether your suffering is true or not. So, after about, you know, 30 years of observing my own patterns and from those star charts, I came to the conclusion that, yeah, I was actually pretty correct about all the major events in my life. Except, They cannot predict whether I suffer or learn through it. That's the 30% that people talk. So,
don't ask me to read it for you.
I really rusty after a long time. I'm done. That whole exercise was about trying to change predestined things for me. And then I realized that your destiny is to live your life. The only choice you have is to embrace it or not. So those are your choices. Free will sucks.
This podcast is created by members of the Clearway Zen Sangha. If you enjoyed the talk and wish to show support, donation information can be found on our website, www.clearwayzen.ca. Thank you for listening.